Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 5. Krunahatva hi mahabhut nubhavan. Shreyo bhak bhoktum vaishamapya loke. Advarta kamam suguruni haiva. Punjaya bhogan rudhya pragdidan. Gurun, the superiors, Ahadva, not killing, he, certainly, Maha Anubhavan, the great souls, Shreya, it is better, Bhoktum, to enjoy life, Bhaksham, by begging, Api, even, Iha, in this life. Loke, in this world. Hadva, killing. Artha, gain. Kamam, desiring. To, but. Gurun, superiors. Iha, in this world. Eva, certainly. Punjaya, one has to enjoy. Bhogan, enjoyable things. Rudira, blood. Pradigdan, tainted with. Translation of Purport Boy by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. According to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in an abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination is fit to be abandoned. Bhishma and Drona were obliged to take the side of Duryodhana because of his financial assistance, although they should not have accepted such a position simply on financial considerations. Under the circumstances, they have lost the respectability of teachers, but Arjuna thinks that nevertheless they remain superiors, and therefore to enjoy material profits after killing them would mean to enjoy spoils tainted with blood. Text number 6. Nachaitad vidmat kataro no gario yad vajayama yadi na vajayu yaneva hatva na jiji vishamas tevasita pramukhe dartarastra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are standing before us on the battlefield. Purport, Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainly victory, because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them, and their cause is justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely prove that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but that he was highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another side of detachment. He was truly victorious, virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of the instructions of Sri Krishna, the spiritual master, indicate. It was concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Lest the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. Arjuna is confused. He doesn't know what to do. And he's pointing out that more or less he's criticizing his teachers, his gurus. He's saying they're avaricious, but they're still all right. So then he surrenders to Krishna in the next verse. And then after surrendering to Krishna, he decides he's not going to listen to Krishna. Typical disciple. Gurudev, I'll do whatever you want. Oh, that's not a good choice. Could you try again? I'm a soul surrender to you, as long as you... but I have some good suggestions for you. If you're a genuine guru, you should be able to read my mind. Encourage me. So Arjuna is just a typical disciple, that's all. But then, after saying, I'm not going to fight, after he says, I'm surrendered to you, then he says, I'm not going to fight. Arjuna told Krishna, I shall not fight, and fell silent. So then Krishna at least was going to speak to him. Arjuna in his mind had already figured everything out, just like we've figured everything out. We think we know what's best for us, and then we'll take help from others to confirm it. Just to encourage us in what we want to do. But Krishna doesn't do that. He immediately calls Arjuna, if you were actually learned, you wouldn't speak that way. If you actually knew what was going on, you wouldn't speak the way you're speaking. That a learned person doesn't speak like you do, therefore it's concluded that you're a fool. But Krishna is still diplomatic with Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, because no one likes to be considered a fool. Everyone thinks that they're quite all right. And as soon as you call someone a fool, then immediately they won't listen to you anymore. If you go on Sankirtan, you say, my dear sir, please take this book. You look like you're foolish. I don't think you have the brains to understand it, but maybe you have enough donation gift for it. I don't think you'll sell very many books. Usually it's, my dear sir, you're the most intelligent person. You have this glow coming from you, I don't know. You look like you're really empowered and enlivened. Besides this book, the color matches your dress. Perfect match. So I think you're super intelligent. I know you know everything in the book. It's in the book. But still, you know, it'll simply reveal all your glories in the book if you read it. Really? And a generous person like you, there's no limit to how much they'll give to the soul surrendered to you like I am. Is that true? What did Prabodhananda Saraswati say? Trinad. What's the first word? Something, taking a straw in my mouth, bowing down before you 100,000 times, saying, oh, great soul. And then he says, yes, what can I do for you? Give all your nonsense and take shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we have to see in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the introduction, all Arjuna is doing is counteracting whatever Krishna says. Arjuna counteracts it with another scriptural quote. It's an argument. Tarko apratishta shutiya nivina. It's an argument going on. And Arjuna is using scripture. Because at that time, people actually read the books. Obviously, the Kshatriyas even knew what the scriptures were all about. And they lived by the scriptures. So that's the difference between Dwarpa Yuga and Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people have no authority. They don't believe in anything. The only rule and regulation they follow is that they don't follow any rules and regulations. Of course, they may claim they have no authority, but their mind is their authority. And whatever appeals to their mind becomes their authority. So the people who are clever, those who are the Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda said, in Kali Yuga, there's only two classes of people, the cheaters and the cheated. There's a small group of people called the so-called Vaishyas who are actually Naradamas, and the vast majority of people are Shudras or Mudhas. So the Mudhas, the Vaishyas who are clever, well, seemingly clever, the Naradamas who are sinful, they simply misled the ignorant Shudras into becoming more and more sinful, more and more degraded. Why? Because the aim of the Vaishyas, the Naradamas, is not to lead people to a higher state of consciousness for their benefit, but actually to manipulate them for their sense gratification. And therefore, and because the Shudras are less intelligent, they're easily manipulated, especially by fear. Shudra is always afraid something's going to happen to them. They even hear rumors all the time that the virus is going to come and kill you. Take shelter of us. And they have all kinds of propaganda. It's like I use Duolingo to study language. And one of the whole chapters is all about the virus, how the virus will save us. It's how we should go and take our shots for the benefit of all of the world. Yeah, they actually have, I mean, it's all pervading propaganda. And because people have no intelligence, and because everyone has to accept an authority, and because they've been misled, therefore they actually take these people as authorities. Andaya tandera upigayamanas te picha tantra urudami vara. The blind are leading the blind. Now, a person who is previously, when people were not so much in the mode of ignorance, they wouldn't accept such authorities. They were degraded, their authorities, but their authorities were not so degraded. They had to have seemingly, they weren't so scandalous as they are now. They had to have some kind of morality for people to accept them. Of course, since the beginning of Kali Yuga, no one is really very moral, but it's been gradually degraded to the point that people are outwardly degraded. They're actually less than animals. Their leaders are less than animals. Or they're simply doing useless activities, and people are enamored by them. Singing, just like even the music you can see has become so degraded. People are used to, what to speak of the movies. Previously, the movies were all about Krishna, like in India, some kind of religious topic. All the music was religious. And now we're down with people just saying one word after another. I don't know, what is that called? Where people just chant the same word again and again. Oh, they're rappers. Rappers? Like candy wrapper. You know what a candy wrapper is? Something that covers candy. But there's they have rappers, you know, who just say all kinds of nonsense. And, you know, because people are just impressed by the fact that people can talk so quickly about nothing, about nonsense, and they actually become enamored by them. So as things degrade, then people's leaders degrade also, and therefore people become less and less aware of anything close to reality. Their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. And yet they think they're making progress. They're actually proud. The more people are in illusion, the more proud they become. But here we find out that at least Arjuna is in illusion. He doesn't know what to do, but he's humble enough to ask for good advice from someone he actually respects. Although he says, more or less at the beginning, he's not going to fight, but that's just like an emotional reaction. Because he's going to listen to Krishna, he's going to inquire from Krishna, listen to him. Krishna chastises him mildly, and then he's going to tell him immediately, what's the basis of your illusion? In other words, Arjuna is more or less bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what not to do. But then Krishna gives him real knowledge about how everyone is eternal. Your idea that you're going to kill these people is all wrong, because no one dies. Everyone's eternal. All you can do is kill the outward dress that they're in. But that's not really killing anyone. You can't kill the soul. The soul is eternal. And then Krishna will explain about dharma. What's actually good for the soul and what's not good for the soul. In other words, it's good for the soul to become conscious and it's not good for the soul to become unconscious. It's very dangerous. Because then one may enter into the lower species of life. So therefore one should do his duty. So Krishna will explain about karma yoga, which is more or less controlling one's senses. Controlling the senses by doing our duty and not by taking shelter of Krishna. Utilizing the senses in Krishna's service is considered to be controlling them, allowing Krishna to control them. And working whimsically outside the realm of Krishna consciousness, working for some illusory goal, is considered to be lack of sense control. In other words, working for reality that uncovers our true consciousness is considered controlling our senses, rather than illusion controlling us and degrading us. So that's beginning as karma yoga, just doing our duty according to the Vedas. And of course, all the Vedas in the Varnashram system, duties are all meant to perform sacrifice to Vishnu. It's not that duties were done independently of Vishnu, but there was a yajna for Vishnu, and everyone cooperated to perform the yajna for Vishnu. So Vishnu was in the center, or Krishna was in the center. And by putting Krishna in the center, then one became purified enough to hear transcendental knowledge. One could actually appreciate when one heard that the eternality of the soul, about how the soul should be elevated, that there are different levels of consciousness, either in the higher planetary systems, and then the ultimate goal is Vaikuntha, to become completely purified, renounced, and aware, and come to the platform of Vaikuntha consciousness. And then one could actually practice bhakti, even in this lifetime, become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So that's called, Krishna explained that consciousness, that process to Arjuna, and then Arjuna can understand that that's for his benefit, because he is a spiritual being, and his highest goal is to become full of bliss and full consciousness forever. Now, anyone who thinks that's a waste of time, there's no sense of talking to them, because they're wasting their time. Anyone who's determined to go to the darkest regions of existence, we don't encourage them, but we have no means to stop them, except to try to explain to people who have a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of humility, to understand that they don't know everything. Therefore, the hardest people to talk to are the people who have the most degrees, because they think they've already learned everything. And if you're challenging them, that actually our philosophy challenges them, because we tell them they don't know anything. But they work so hard to get all their recognition and their degrees, their false sense of having knowledge. They work so hard for it, they're not going to give it up so easily. Until they're faced with a dilemma that they can't solve, and therefore, if there's persons who actually command respect, then they might approach them and inquire from them submissively. Other than that, the whole society is meant to make people proud. Although we can see people have to be proud of. They say that you should be proud because you have an education. But what did your education teach you? It didn't stop old age, disease, and death. It doesn't even knowledge of rebirth. Doesn't understand who we are, who anyone is, who the animals are, how the karma works, how time is taking away everyone's life imperceptibly. These things, even the most obvious things, are not even taught at the university. If you go to the university and ask the learned professor, why do I have to die? What will he do? They'll immediately call the police and have you arrested for threatening him. He has no answer. It's not the questions you're supposed to ask. Why is the body changing? Can we stop the body from changing? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why am I in this university? What am I going to get from being in this university? Except for a job. Maybe. In America, students don't even don't want to go to the university, because all they get from the university is debt. In America, to go to university costs a lot of money, and you have to take out a student loan. So at the end of your university, you can't get a job, but you have to pay back your debt. So you don't learn anything. Most of the students don't even know how to cook. They don't have any money to buy the food to cook either. So they haven't learned anything of any value. They only learn two things: chemistry and biology. Chemistry is what's the effect of different kinds of drugs. That's the only chemistry they know. And biology is they're trying to figure out which sex they are. One of the 72 varieties. And then they get the degree. And they feel proud that I'm a learned person. I know everything. No one can tell me anything. So Arjuna at least is humble. He's confused, but because he's trying to figure it out on the basis of his own intelligence, but it doesn't make him feel good, ultimately. Because he's actually a sincere person. And he's honest. He's trying to figure out, he's trying to respect his superiors, Bhishma and Drona. He knows they're superiors, He has affection for them, feeling for them, but he knows they're wrong. They did something wrong, and he can't figure it out. Why did Bhishma and Drona go over to Duryodhana's side? And what's wrong with running away from the fight? And maybe what's wrong with, you know, he's confused. So this knowledge is very important. It's very valuable for anyone to have, to know that we're eternal, to know how the laws of karma work, to know why there are different species of life, and the danger of falling into the lower ones, to know how one can elevate oneself to a higher stage of existence, both in this lifetime and in the future. This is the only valuable thing that human form of life gives one. Everything else is more or less based upon promising people that if you follow our path, then you'll get some money and you'll be able to eat nicely. That's what it all comes to. Eat nicely and we'll give you a place to sleep. And if you're really dynamic, you might even have a little sex. And then you can have enough money in the bank that when they come to take your house away, you'll be able to pay, you know, stop them for a little while. So that's basically what people, that's all they're interested in. And to distract them, sports and movies and the internet, Facebook, whatever else they're doing, just to keep them distracted. The fact that they don't know anything, they don't know why they're suffering, they don't know any real solution. And as time goes on, they don't know how to eat anymore. They can hardly eat anything. Everything is so polluted. GMOs, pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and then of course peoplecides. They can't eat, they can't sleep. As I said, there's a 7-part series with 7 or 8 people, professors with PhDs, giving information, giving their scientific advice of how to sleep. People can't even sleep anymore. They have apnea or sleep, insomnia, whatever else. So they have to take courses at universities to learn how to sleep. You can get your PhD in sleeping. And people, you can make an occupation in teaching people how to sleep. And of course, sex is, even that people don't know how to do anymore. They don't even know what sex they are anymore. And as far as defending, they're put into anxiety and fear. The whole information, the whole educational system is simply to make people afraid. And the whole thing is that they keep on telling you, if you don't surrender to us, you're going to die. And they offer you things that are going to kill you. Make you sick. If you're sick, then you actually think you might die. So then they'll say, we have the solution. They give you something that makes you sick. And then when you get sick, you go to them, I'm sick. Well, here, we got the solution to that problem. You take that, you get worse. Well, we have a solution to the two problems. As I said, my aunt, she had a bladder infection. She went to the hospital. And they gave her some medicine, and she got a reaction to the medicine. So they had to give her another medicine to take care of the reaction to that medicine. And by the time they killed her, she had 5 doctors visiting her every day, giving her different medicines. And they declare that we're the only ones who know how to save you. And they even make it illegal to take any other kind of treatment other than their treatment that's going to kill you. So this is Kali Yuga. And even if you want to escape it, escape the system, they make it as difficult as possible. And most people, they don't have enough energy or brain power or whatever else to actually understand how crazy everything is. Because they themselves are crazy. Or they make it so that there's no more... they take the food away, the food supply, they own the food supply, and therefore you're completely dependent on them for the food supply. Like in communist China, they have what's called now social credit score. So every day, on your phone, they give you a score for the day. And according to the score, you're able to go to different places, you're able to purchase your food, you're able to pay for your rent, and if your score goes down, then you can't use the transportation, you can't pay for food, you can't do so many different things. So if you don't follow their, act like what they consider a good citizen, then they take everything, all the privileges away, like food and clothing and shelter and transportation. Job, everything is taken away from you. And this is called progress. And that wonderful system is coming to you. If we don't chant Hare Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness, people will embrace the system. Think, oh, it's very nice. Keep everyone safe and secure. Everyone will be a good citizen. Never complain. No matter what they do to you. Did you take your medicine today? Did you salute your flag? Did you bow down before the leader, big brother? And big sister, and big, one of the, whoever he may, or she may be, or it may be. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Everyone's in shock. We live in such a protected environment. All right. Kuala Grantharashimad Bhagavad Gita Kijai.